A lot of things that I'd like to talk to you about in the Word of the Lord. Sometimes in talking to you, it's very difficult to bring what we call a sermon. It never was really meant that men should preach what you call sermons. You know, God has done marvelous things. The Bible should ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things that ye know not. And of course I ask of the Lord. I believe the scriptures. And I ask of the Lord, and he shows me great and mighty things that I didn't know until he showed them to me. So I thrill to the touch of the Lord. I'm so grateful. He's so good to me. He's been so very good to me. He blesses me. My cup runs over. He makes me to ride upon the high places of the earth. He feeds me with the best that heaven can afford. Let's read from chapter 10 if you've got your Bibles. St. Luke, the 17th verse. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and that revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in thy sight. Jesus said, Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, he said, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice because you have all power over the enemy. I give you power to tread on serpents, and I give you power to tread on scorpions. This is speaking of spiritual serpents and spiritual scorpions, demon spirits. I give you power to do that, and by faith, you could tread on natural scorpions and serpents. But his reference is to spiritual sources. But in this rejoice not. That is, as to apply it to the shepherd, I shouldn't go out and have a jubilee and have a revival and get everybody shouting and jumping and hollering because I cast out a devil, or even because the sick was healed. See, in this rejoice not. That's not why you should have your revival. Rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you. When you say spirits, he said, I make my angels spirits. So demons are also spirits. Fallen angels are spirits. Those are the wrong kind of spirits. But he said, rejoice not because the spirits are subject unto you. Is then Satan subject unto you? Has God subjected him unto you? Of course he has. And is Beelzebub subject to you, the prince of devils? Certainly he is. Is then evil spirits and devils and demons, are they actually subject to you? Even as a babe born into the Spirit and caught up to the throne of God? Though you are not yet to the place to where you can utilize your ability and that you've not developed your faith, are they then still subject unto you? They certainly are. So then why should we fear anything? Why should we fear cancer? Why should we fear sickness? Why should we fear insanity? Why should we fear poverty? Why should we fear wrecks or disasters, weather conditions, the law, the government? Why should we fear anything? Because all things are yours, And you have all things that pertain unto life. Why should you feel slighted as to anything? For he's given you all things that have pertain unto life. And he hath made all things subject unto you as to your spiritual benefits. All spirits are subject unto you. Therefore, ye should not be afraid. Jesus said, fear not. Why should you fear? He said, fear not. Seeing that the spirits are subject unto you, seeing that you have power over all the powers of the enemy, why should you fear that you're going to backslide? Why should you fear that you're going to hell? Why should you fear that God isn't going to love you and that you're not going to succeed in life while someone else succeeds, when the Bible said, whatever you do shall prosper? See, why do you do that? It is because you walk out into the enemy's territory and you feel this overshadowing of the spirit of darkness and night. See, but that darkness that falls isn't inside of you. It's just around you. You should have stayed where the light was, because you are a child of the light. So then why should you fear that your home isn't going to be a success, that your husband isn't going to love you, or that your wife isn't going to love you? That only gives place to the devil to let somebody in. Of course, you might say, well, what if she doesn't? What if he doesn't? What if he goes bad? Well, it just means you're free from him. You don't need that anyway. Who wants to live with a rotten dog? Anybody that's in that kind of condition is already dead and rotten. So you don't want that anyway. But nevertheless, you believe God, he isn't going to let those things happen. He's going to take care of you. And should that happen, you have something much better. You didn't have the right rib to start with, as somebody said. Now then, so we see that we have all power over the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. He said, behold, I give unto you power over the enemy. All power. What is that power? The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ conquered Satan, all that Satan has, and desire to all that God has. And when you receive the Spirit of Christ, see, Satan is conquered by the Spirit of Christ. Satan is only heir to the sorrows, the heartaches, the woes, the problems. This Christ is heir to all good things, all righteous things, all holy things. So then everybody is heir to something. One man is heir to sorrow. Paul said, and these were before of old ordained unto condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Before the world ever was, they were foreordained unto an inheritance of corruption and of sorrow. Heir to all things as to corruption. But you, with Christ, the power over all the powers of the enemy, as to Satan, you are heir to the glory of God and the things of God and the righteousness of God, to the health of God, to the riches of God, to the splendor, to the magnificence of God. It is the Spirit of Christ over Satan. All power over the powers of the enemy, you have it. Why then should you be afraid at any time or be afraid of anything? You have power over all the powers of the enemy, which is the Spirit of Christ over Satan. So then the Spirit of Christ over the kingdom of Satan. You have this power. It's dwelling within you. When he said, behold, I give unto you power, it was the Holy Ghost. And this power is the Spirit of Christ over all the powers of the evil. Because Christ has conquered Satan. And Satan is subject to Christ. And as I've said before, you cannot bind a strong man unless you're strong. Satan can never enter into the house of which you claim to be as the body of Christ to spoil the goods of Christ. But Christ can enter into that house and spoil the goods of Satan and bind Satan and cast him out. So then, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, Jesus said. And I give unto you power to tread on scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then you have power from God. You have a great power from God. This power makes you to have faith You are like a little child. What must I then do? I must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I must desire the sincere milk of the Word, which is the inspiration of Christ, until I can develop into that great, wonderful man of faith that can tell Satan to get thee hence, for thou art an offense unto me. Even the Christ reliving in my life. See, Satan going his way. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. So then when we come to this bar mitzvah, or this great change, or that is to say, when we come out from under the tutoring of the law, though we are already as a child, we still are ruler over all things. We still have all things from our Heavenly Father. We still have all things from our Heavenly Father. And we're still ruler over Him, though we are but a child. That is to say, as long as I'm a child, I differ nothing. See, as to a child. Or that is, I am different nothing from as a servant, though I be master and Lord of all. But as a servant, still I'm still under the control of someone. I'm still under the control, as to say, I'm still under tutors, to be taught, to be developed, that someone may tell me my rights in God. Someone may program me toward the things that are to be detailed in my mind, that I might thoroughly comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of that which God has given to me in Christ. Shall He not with Christ freely give us all things? Or shouldn't we say, has He not already given us, even by foreknowledge in Christ, freely all things? Not grudgingly, not that I have to struggle and work my way up unto it, but freely, in that all I have to do is believe with my heart unto righteousness. So then what is my struggle in life, and what is my goal in life? What must I accomplish in life? What am I seeking to do in life? To do one thing, and that's to convince my heart. For the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked, it's deceitful above all things, who can know it? I'm not trying to work my way unto righteousness as to do good deeds, but I am trying to convince my heart. John said to do the things that please God convinces my heart, that my heart may have confidence in God, that He heareth me. For I know that if He heareth me, then I have the petition I desire of Him. Or let's simplify that statement. If I know that He hears me, then that means I have no reason to disbelieve. A little child comes to its father, and it's calling. It comes a-running, and it says, Father, Father, can you hear me? Father, Father. And maybe the father is on the back side of the house, and the little one's on the front side, and he's hurt himself or something, and he wants a little caressing and love, and he wants to be healed, and that he wants his wounds bound up, you know, and he says, Father, Father, can you hear me? The father doesn't hear him. Sees out of hearing distance. But now then, should the little child approach as to where the father is, and the father would say, Son, I hear you, I hear you, then the little child is comforted because he knoweth that he hath what the Father can give him as to love and consideration. So see, if we know that if the Father hears us, that He's going to give it to us. No doubt about that. We don't have to work unto it, fast unto it, pray unto it, strive unto it. It's freely given to us in Christ already, before the world ever was. It came to pass that He heard before I called, even before I was born into the world, and appropriated the funds in Christ. So if I can just get in hearing distance, see, if I can just get to where I can call. See, like Brother Branham used to say, when Billy Paul was little, go out to a place way out in the woods, way out from Jeff, and a little stream by, going by, you know, and Billy would sit down and fish, and Daddy would make a long circle and go around this way and come over to a hidden cave. But he was within hearing distance should Billy call. And if Billy called, he would hurry over to see what was wrong with Billy, because he was just a boy. Whereas many people tried to find that cave. As far as I know, Sister Mitty said she was the only one that ever knew about it. But we found it. See, it was in hearing distance. So then when we hear, when we get God to hear, that is, if we can get close enough to where He can hear. And the way we get close enough is keep doing the things that makes our heart to believe. Because it's just as soon as faith comes up and we can believe, He's in hearing distance. Because see, He purifies our heart by faith in that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has taken away our offenses. He was delivered for our offenses. And for us to get past the offenses is to get beyond Calvary. So then we know that if we can get to where He can hear us, and we know that if we convince our heart to where it will believe, that just as quick as we believe in the righteousness of God, we're clean in His sight. When we believe in what Jesus did in our behalf. So then we know that He hears us. Then we can say, praise God. And like Abraham going about being strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, that he was able also to perform. And the Bible said he will hasten to perform that which is going out of his mouth. Not alter the thing that's going out of his mouth, but he'll perform it. So then we can hasten to him and say, Father, and just like that, we know that we have the petition we desire of him, in that he heareth us. So then John said, we do these things to convince the heart, and in convincing the heart, hereby we know that he heareth us. And we know that if he hears us, he isn't going to deny us. See, because that's what he's there for, is to give us all things. It's his pleasure to give it to us, and all he wants to do is just to get us in hearing distance. See, so he can grant it to us. That cleanses by our offenses then gone by the delivering up of Jesus. So I get to thinking about this sometimes, and I say, my God, what's the matter with me in the church? All these many years, and this has been the benefits of the church and the children of God, and here we are struggling to pray and struggle to fast, and we fast and we pray, and then we go to him and we say, oh God, if you please. Lord, if you please. I didn't fast but 10 days. I should have fasted 40. But Lord, if you please, I'll try to make it. See, that's a state of ignorance on our part. It wouldn't matter if we didn't fast a day. That has nothing to do with it. He didn't give it to us through fasting and prayer. He loved us while we were yet in our sins so much that he died for us. And the Bible teaches that if God give Jesus, which was the most precious thing in heaven, to die for us, would he not freely with Christ give us all things? Well, that is to say, when the multitude was with Jesus 3 days, and they were without food, even 3 days, Jesus said, get some food for these people, for I have compassion upon them, that if they should go away like this, they would faint in the way. And I don't want that. So see, the Bible said his ears are ever attentive toward the cry of the righteous. He's ever got his ears open toward the cry of the righteous. And he's waiting for you and I to cry out that he might hear us. See, that he might hear us. Now, you and I, when we cry, we just holler out. You know, we hurt ourselves and we say, oh my God, somebody help me. I'm about to die. That's not the cry that he's listening to. It's the cry of faith. That it is the cry of confidence. When you can cry in confidence. When you can cry in confidence. You cannot cry in confidence until you do the things that please God. You know, a lot of people are going around trying to have faith and say, bless God, I believe I'll take hold of it. See, that's foolishness. The cry of confidence. When I just simply settle down to be what I am, as to the grace of God. And then I try to be honest. And I don't try to be nothing outstanding and nothing special. But I just try to be what I am. And then I say, Lord, I love you. I've been born again. And I'm trying to do whatever I can. What little I can for you, I want to do it. Lord, magnify me for your name's sake that I might magnify you. And then the Lord looks down. See, simplicity. Just simplicity. Like the woman that fell at Jesus' feet. She come crying and she asked for a favor of Jesus and healing for her loved one. And the Bible said Jesus didn't even speak to her. He didn't even speak to her. He acted like she wasn't even there. And then she cried the more. And even the disciples said, send her away. She's vexing to us. And Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he finally turned to the woman and he said, woman, it's not meet that I should give the children's bread to the dogs. The woman, she didn't stop. She didn't quit. See, she had faith. She had a confidence that if she'd stay there, that he'd hear her. See, he had already heard her, but that he would grant what she wanted. See, that if she'd stay there. Now, that was faith. She believed she was going to get what she come for. And she said, I know that, Lord. She said, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that falls from the children's table. And then Jesus marveled because she still believed that he could heal and that he would heal and she wouldn't forsake her conviction. And he said, oh woman, great is thy faith. See, as soon as she becomes simple, as soon as her pride was gone, as soon as humility comes in, the Bible says that humility goes before honor. See, and as Moses, the Bible said, and Moses was the most humble man or the meekest man in all the earth. And it is said concerning Jesus, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. See, humility before honor, pride before destruction. When you get proud, when you get arrogant, when you get lifted up, when you get to thinking that you have an ability to make money, an ability to be fine looking, you know, or beautiful, or you have the ability to attract attention, or you have all these great abilities as to your own starchy, self-willed, self-made way of life, then God despises you. Pride before destruction. A proud look, a haughty spirit. But humility before honor. Humility stimulates faith. So then you have all power over the powers of the enemy. And I think, my God, what have you done for the church? That we don't have anything to be afraid of. But it's because we're little children. And we don't apply ourselves. And we don't get down to business with God. And we don't go on with the Lord like we ought to. We don't spend enough time in church, enough time praying, enough time studying to bring every thought into subjection, to bring every deed to the obedience as to the conformity of Christ, to be like the Lord, to be like Paul, to say, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. Like Paul said, lift up those feeble hands that hang down. He said, make straight paths for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Well, that is, what he was saying was, get your heart into a condition to believe. Do the things that's like the Lord, that tries to please God. And with this, you're going to eschew the heart. And the heart's going to take on a confidence. And this heart's confidence is going to be that he heareth us. And then we can say what we will, and it'll be done unto us. For if we abide in him, we sin not. For he sinneth not. And we ask what we will, and he will do whatever we ask. Someone would say, well, to abide in him, Brother Pike, how can I abide in him? Can I live perfect like him? When he says abide in me, he means the Word. The Word was made flesh. Jesus is the Word. The same yesterday, today, and forever, though he's not in bodily form, he's here in spirit as the Word. See, and to abide in the Word, that is to have faith in the Word. When you believe in the Word, you are abiding in the Word, continually abiding in the Word to every thought that's continual believing in the Word. And if you abide in the Word, then you're born of the Spirit, which is the Word abiding in you, that is that you've been born again. He said you can ask what you will, it'll be done to you. Just say what you will and don't doubt in your heart and it'll happen. Someone would then again say, well, how, Brother Pike, can I do that to the extent that I say what I will and don't doubt in my heart? See, the secret is you mustn't doubt in your heart. See, to doubt in your heart is to lose everything. But to believe is to gain everything. You mustn't doubt in your heart. So then how can I keep from doubting in my heart? Doing the things that please God. Then I persuade my heart. My heart is a heart of confidence, which is faith. God's Spirit purifies my heart. And with the heart in return, I believe unto righteousness. Because if I do the things that please God, that's my works with my faith. And my faith then takes hold of the confidence as to what He has said in His Word, and then His faith, as to the faith which sanctifies me, comes from God, purifies my heart. I can say what I want to, and it will be done, if I can say and not doubt in my heart. You know, you're going to have all kinds of things come into your head. You're going to, Satan's always trying to trample down the mind of humanity. But if you can get that heart full of confidence, and you say, now wait a minute, I'm not walking contrary to the Lord. I don't claim to be Moses and Elijah and some great person. But I know one thing, I'm doing all I know to do and the best I know how to do it. And with my stumblings and staggering, my Lord understands, because He knows that I'm but a human being. The Bible said He looks down, He pities us, the little children. And He's going to take my hand because I'm trying my best. What mother or dad would not take the hands of a little one if it was trying to learn to walk? See, so we know that He's going to take our hand, and we just settle down in confidence, and we don't doubt because that thing keeps talking to us up here and telling us it won't happen, that God don't love us and all these kind of things. It doesn't matter about that anyway. I didn't see anything about that doubting. But when that heart is staunch, David said, my heart is fixed and the evil tidings shall not trouble me. So then he said, I'll not be afraid. I'll not be afraid. I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to fear any evil. Why should I fear evil? Because I have all power over evil. Even death, the last enemy that's to be conquered by the world, we've already conquered it through Jesus. So then we pass from death unto life. Why then should we fear that which hath no power over us? So then we see faith, the power of faith. I've used faith so many times. Of anything that I want, I just pray. And I was in my room today, praying, claiming some things by faith, which will show up in just a little while. Just claiming them by faith. A lot of people, even people that are Christians, they try to claim things by, you know, they say, well, I've got a good record, I've got a good name, I'm going to trade cars, I know I can get myself a new car because I got a good name. You know, I make a good income, I paid my bills, and those people, they have confidence in me. But you know, a lot of times, that'll fail you. Get sick just a little bit. Do one little thing. Or let them get upset at you. And your good name ain't worth 15 cents. Your name is mud, as the world says. But I don't trust in that. Though we do have a good name. God has given us a good name. But I never trust in that. If I want something, I go to my back room and I pray and shed a few tears before God. Or I say, Lord, build my faith. Father, I'm not trusting in my name. I'm not trusting in my finance. I'm not trusting in my ability. I'm trusting in the name of Jesus Christ and in the living God. You're going to do it by faith. That's the truth. You know, we have a good name. I just received a letter from Mr. Alvin Ruark, a man that we've done business here with, of the First National Bank. And he wrote us a letter. Wrote a letter on our behalf that we could keep in a folio for our business transactions and whatever. And the letter says, Mr. Pike has an $80,000 line of credit with us. And, of course, I've owed him far more than that, 100 so, whatever. But anyway, he says, and the man has satisfactorily dealt with us in his dealings, that we're pleased. And only one thing that they wasn't pleased with, said, and that is that we're unable to have his deposits in our bank. That is, we bank with somebody else, and we don't have our banking account with them. So, see, that's a good name. And the Bible said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But I didn't go after that good name. I went after the Lord Jesus, and all these things were added. Because many times I've been late with my bills when you paid your bills. I've been late with mine. Maybe you was late with yours a week or two. Maybe you was late with yours a month or two. Maybe I was late with mine 6 or 8 months. Maybe a year or two. Maybe 3 or 4 years. But I still paid them by faith and got a good name. Whereas you didn't 2 weeks and you lost out. See, because that's about what it is. 2 months it is. On the second month, if you don't hit right on the second month, you're gone. I've had my banker to tell me that. Anything over the second month and your rating is altogether different. They'll deal with you, but you haven't got what you're looking for. But by faith, I did it. I've never had a take back doing my ministry. So far as I know, anything I bought from $1 to $100,000, I've never had a take back. By faith, sometimes overdrawn $15,000 or $20,000 to the bank or whatever, I don't know just how much. I can remember right offhand 16,000 or 14,000 or whatever. Never bothered me. I went on by faith. When I needed to write my check, I wrote my check. When I needed, somebody said, well, it's because you had such a good credit rating, and Brother Pike, they just didn't bounce your check. I didn't have any kind of credit rating that kept my checks from going back. I didn't have any kind of agreement with the bank that they wouldn't send the checks back. Not any. I just took it by faith, and many of them went back. Just like a rolling tire. But I believe God. But many times God would keep a check for 6 solid months from going in. How he did it, I don't know. I just took it by faith and went on. Somebody said, then are you recommending we can have a good name by doing that? I'm recommending that you can have a good name by faith. It doesn't matter if you do that or 10 times more. But I'm telling you, if you try that one time, just on a little scale, you're going to be in trouble. Bad trouble. And it's going to work for you. So then I said all that again to honor God and to magnify faith. Faith. To follow faith. To believe in faith. Faith will always do the job. If you believe, then you can travel all over the world. And God will give you the heathens an inheritance. He said, ask of me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing you'll not be able to receive. And ask of me the heathens, and I will give them to you for an inheritance. So then, my light shines to the ends of the earth. And I ask of him the heathens. And he gives tens of thousands of people to come to repentance in our ministry, that they may be to us a treasure. Paul said, his jewels and my crown on the other side, over where our treasures are. Laying up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth don't corrupt. For wherever your treasure is, it'll captivate your attention and your heart, and all of your thoughts and endeavors will be toward that. So I'm not trying to make myself a name. The Bible said, and Jesus sought to make of himself no reputation. I sought to make him a name. He said, I've chosen you to make me a name. And in this, God has considered me and blessed me and loved me and kept me. Blessed my children, my wife, blessed you because you're my children. And I pray for you. I pray for them that are not here, sheep of another flock, that over in Africa or the Philippines or wherever, South America, they're part of my flock. They're my children. I pray for them. The God family is big. Now, I have all power over the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt me because Christ is with me. These things will fall all around me, but the Bible said they won't come nigh your dwelling. So this is what I do. Always the things that please the Father. How then can I obtain this faith? It's by a pure heart. For the Bible says the pure in heart shall see God. God is the great light. That is a great knowledge that you cannot see. Through your eyes of understanding, you'll never see it because Satan, Lucifer, even the god of this world, through the fall of Adam and Eve, has blinded your eyes of understanding that you can't see these things when good comes. But if you have a pure heart, then you get a revelation. And a revelation is God, the Spirit. That is the word, intellectual word, as to the printed page made spirit. Being pure in heart, thus you see God. You see God. You see the great light, whose light is most precious. So being pure in heart, you see life. And when you see life, that's eternal life. You thus have eternal life. To see that light is to mean that your spirit has taken on this light. And this light has become interwoven in the filament of your heart, as to radiate through the outer casing or the bulb of your being. So when you get that light on the inside, as the Christ's power coming into that filament of your spirit, then you radiate with the glory of God. See this light most precious, this understanding, this wisdom that penetrates the genes of the body and makes a man's face to shine. Even as Moses, who had to put a veil over his face. So I have all power over the enemy. Satan fell at Calvary. Today we are those that dwell in heaven. We are free from sin and free from Satan. He, the evil one, never touches us. He's an offense unto us. We don't want him around us. And we believe. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible unto you. Well, that is to say, beloved friend, If you can believe, that proves that you are elect. That you are elect. And if you can believe, then you are elect. And that means that there's nothing impossible to you because you own and possess all things. All you got to do is just develop. Get your faith in action. Learn to believe without wavering. Do whatever you want to because you're elect. I'm going to say this and then we're going to close right here. Let's give an illustration or an example that might be helpful to us. Peter in the boat, Jesus walking on the water, the waves boisterous. And Jesus spoke, and Peter said, "Master, if that be you, bid me come." And he said, "Come, Peter." So Peter, he jumped overboard and started walking on the water. And there as he walked on the water, he was a master in faith. He just simply believed what Jesus said on the spur of the moment. He believed it. And immediately on the spur of the moment, he lit up. His faith was staunch. He began to walk on the water and he kept his eyes right on the Word, that is on Jesus. Until all of a sudden, he looked down at the waves. That's what happens to us. The very minute that we get our minds off of the promises of God or the Word of God, then we're in trouble with God. See, we start reasoning. You look around at the sea of life as to people, likened unto waters. They're boisterous, everything roaring. You think, "My, the sheriff will get me. Or I'll get run over. I'll have a wreck. Or they'll do something to my wife and children. My, I better get me a gun. I don't know what to do." See, and that quick your faith has gone from you. All my life I've had to use faith, even to protect my people physically. See, so I've won out over the law. I've won out over people. I've won out over rogues. I've won out over all kinds of people. Dangers, problems, by faith. So then, faith, won out over sicknesses. I'm walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water. All of a sudden, Peter looks down and he sees those waves and they're boisterous. That quick, the connection is broke. Like that, he's not believing anymore. Think now. I'm telling you this so you'll know more how to use faith. Faith is sudden, it's quick, it's sharp, it's right there with you. It's powerful, it's rewarding. Then all of a sudden, you get out of faith. Let a little fear strike your heart, let any little thing like that, and the connection is broke between you and God. Just like if somebody cut the wire, then the power would be broke between that transformer that's transmitting to the filament of that bug. And that little filament would go out like that. As quick as the thing was repaired, it'd be there. Flip the switch down, the light goes off. Flip the switch up, and the connection is made. See, and immediately Peter flipped it the wrong way, and his faith went down on him. And then there he was, sinking. And Jesus looked at him and said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" One doubt. See, one doubt broke the connection. If you can ask in faith, nothing wavering. Say unto this mountain, "Be removed." Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. See, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. It's that simple. So then, Jesus saw him sinking, and he said, "Little faith," because Peter still had a little faith, enough to believe that God would save him. And when the Lord reached down his hands, he saved him. Little faith. But before then, he was a man of great faith. God acknowledged that he was great in faith at that moment. All right, I just wanted to add that little illustration tonight. You can stand with me. A few little things to encourage your faith, to help you better understand what faith is. How that you obtain faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word, that is to know His promises and to believe. But how to work the thing as to the confidence of the heart, or how to be sure that you're going to get what you want. You can do it. Someone say, "Well, I could never do that." Yes, you can. What I say unto one, I say unto all. Yes, you can. Say what you will, don't doubt, believe. Folks, you're going to have to get your heart pure. And to do that, you're going to have confidence as to that faith. And to do that, you're going to have to do the things that please the Lord. And in that we talk like that, we come to this part of the service. And There's a little song that we sing. Let's sing it together. Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Can you sing away? Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin,
with my head hanging
my soul, my head hanging low, waiting for the day it would end.
Then an old-time
preacher came a-preaching
one day.
The Bible said a few words. I've been down to say there is nothing in the world. Come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Come a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer. Let's give him a wave offering. So
come a little closer,
just a little closer, a
little bit closer to the Lord.
Your heavy load will light,
and your days will brighten if you come.
The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. So
come a little closer, just a little closer,
a
little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer.
Can you come a little closer tonight? So come
a little closer,
just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord.
Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer.
Can you come a little closer tonight? So come
close,
just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord.
Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
Oh, I remember, brother,
I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, my head hanging low, trouble in my soul, praying for the day it would end. Then an old-time preacher came calling one day. The book read a few words. Now I can truly say I'm glad for the day I came a little closer to the Lord.
So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little
one more time.
So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you can. Just sing more times. So
come a little closer, just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer.
One more time.
Come a little closer,
just a little closer, a
little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your day
Sing it one more time.
So come a little closer, just a little closer,
a little bit closer to the Lord. You heavy load for life, and your days are bright if you come a little closer to the Lord.
So come a little closer,
just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Heavy load will light, and your days will bright if you come a little closer to the Lord.
One more time.
I remember,
brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, with my head hanging low,
trouble in my soul,
praying for the day it would end. Then an old time preacher came calling one day. Good book, read a few words. Now I can truly say I'm glad for the day I came a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
One more time. I came a little closer, just a little closer. I came a little closer to the Lord. I'm heaven alone, and the days will brighten when I came. One more time. So I
came a little closer, just a little closer, a little bit closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will light, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord.
Can you give the Lord a hand? Lord is loving and kind. He's so sweet.
Of a place that's called heaven.
Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
How beautiful heaven must be.
Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
How beautiful
heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
How beautiful heaven must be.
Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful.
How beautiful heaven must be. Isn't it wonderful to think that even now that we can enter into heaven to press our way into the kingdom, to be translated into the kingdom, to have eternal life? We are they that dwell in heaven. Have you ever looked around to see how beautiful heaven is? I tell you, so often, being caught up into the heavens, I looked into the heavens and saw all these magnificent things. We are they that dwell in heaven. We should look around and see how beautiful heaven really is. Not having to wait, but enjoying heaven. How beautiful, how wonderful, how great, how mighty, how outstanding to know that we are they that dwell in heaven. Do you have a pure heart, a holy heart, a real God heart? Do you have that kind of heart? How beautiful heaven is. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. But we see. Having eyes, we see. How beautiful. It's revelated unto us. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God. Saving me, he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glorious is his name. Wonderful, he's wonderful, King Jesus is to me. Counselor and a Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me and he's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glorious his name. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. If you believe that, you should be getting ready to help us in the Nigerian crusade. And not only that, but the crusades around the world, wherever we're privileged to go by radio or in person. You should have a burning desire and zeal to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preaching the glad tidings of great joy, how that God has delivered them from sin and death and corruption. And how that he has translated them by faith into his marvelous kingdom, that they may rejoice forevermore. Don't you feel happy knowing that you're a son and daughter of God? Everybody ought to know.
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 Who Jesus is. Sing it with me now.
He's the lily of my valley,
and he's your bright and morning star.
He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Give me another key, sister. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus,
what a wonder you are.
You are brighter than the morning star.
You are fairer, much fairer
than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious,
more precious
than gold.
Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are brighter than the morning star.
God. You are fairer, much fairer, than the lily that blows by the wayside. Precious, more precious than gold. Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star.
Oh, my Jesus,
sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are.
You are brighter
than the morning star. You are fairer, much fairer, than the lily that blooms by the wayside. Precious, more precious than gold.
Let's give the Lord another hand, can you? Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes to worship the Lord with us. We'll enter His gates with thanksgiving, and we'll enter into His courts with praise. And we'll sing, as we sing this song together, give us a kiss. And this is the day, this is the day that the Lord
had made, that the Lord had made.
I will rejoice. I wonder if I could get David Paul to come and dismiss
and
us tonight.
Be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord had made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. Remember now, the Lord is doing great things. I know the weather's hot, makes you tired, it takes your strength away from you. But we're almost at the end of summer. Fall is about to set in, the weather will cool off now.
And usually our weather in Georgia holds up, unless a freakish thing happens, it holds up till about Christmas. So it'll be nice and cool and pleasant. Give us a chance to get our strength back as people and do a lot of things for God. Just get out and really show ourselves for God. To do something for God. That's what we need to do. That's what God wants us to do. Let your light so shine. You say, how can I make my light shine, Brother Pike? Good works. Good works. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Your good works, that is what people see. Christ-like. They were Christians, Christ-like. Called Christians at Antioch, Christ-like. We love you. We appreciate you. We want to help you. We're trying to stand with you. Do all we can. I didn't know David was filming back up there. Doing all we can to help your faith. Paul said we are helpers of your faith. And the things that we tell you here is to help your faith and to expedite the cause of Jesus in your life. As to the establishing of his kingdom in this world, when all troubles and problems will be taken away. So tonight, remember you're his son and daughter. God hath made you perfect in his sight, and no one can lay any charge against you because you are forever perfect. So tonight, being perfect in his sight, let's so walk accordingly that we should not do those things as to the children of this world, to be like them. For we have an eternal Father, an eternal kingdom, an eternal hope, an eternal riches, an eternal life. So let's rejoice in the Lord, and don't let Satan put us down for any reason. If you stumble and stagger, if you trip and fall, a good man will fall. You can fall and still be a good man or a good woman. A good man will fall 7 times and get back up. But if you make allowance for sin, to practice sin just to satisfy your lust, because you won't have self-denial, and you won't try to pray, and you won't try to fast to mortify the deeds of the body, then that means that Satan is your master. He savors the things that be of the world and of the flesh, because the God of this world. He's the God of this world. He desires the things of this world, the comforts, the money, the convenience, the prestige, the popularity. But condescend to men of low estate and don't seek to make of yourself a reputation. The Lord will pick you up like he did David on the hillside and make you a great leader, a great ruler. And give you a name like unto the great people of the earth. As our little brother Rodney comes to pray, when you don't have anything to do, think about me and my wife. Pray for me, my wife, and my children. Pray for my spiritual children. Pray for my loved ones. Pray for the church. Pray for little Bethlehem. Pray for all of the things that we're trying to do. Pray that God will deliver us from evil, from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The gullible desires as to that the flesh desireth. And help us to be strong, giving our lives and times to God so that we can rejoice in that day. The Bible says, or the songwriter said, when you hear Jesus say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. Enter into the good treasures of thy God. That was prepared for thee for the foundation of the world. Enter into the riches, the splendor, the glory, the magnificence, the peace. To never worry, to never fret, to never be sick, to never have a problem, to never have a fear. No, never again for your loved ones or whatever. So then as Rodney comes to pray, remember us, Brother Rodney.